Well, thanks for joining us today to talk about Tuesday's Hainesboro Assembly meeting.
Thanks for having me.
It seems like a little bit of a shorter agenda than usual, but don't let that fool you.
You can never guess, right? You can never be sure how long it's going to go.
So we're going to be talking about conditional use permits again. There's going to be a final vote. Give us the rundown on that.
We've definitely heard a lot of different kinds of legislation that have to do with this conditional use permit process because it's complicated and hard to decide, and the borough keeps getting taken to court over it when people appeal. In this most recent legislation, and it was proposed by Assemblymember Eben Sargent, it has to do with the procedural way these are decided, and what it would do is change the voting threshold, basically change how hard it would be for the borough to settle out of court when people sue about these conditional use permits. So basically the way it goes is right now, someone doesn't like their permit decision from the borough, they can appeal it to Superior Court. And then what's happened a couple times in recent years is it's expensive to see these things through in court. It's a lot of legal fees, and the borough and the party that's appealing can come to an out-of-court settlement and make some kind of deal. The assembly votes on it to approve the settlement, and then it's done. And what Eben Sargent is saying is that it's too easy for the assembly to approve these settlements because it just requires a simple majority vote. It requires four of them voting yes for these settlements to be approved. Whereas in so-called quasi-judicial proceedings, so when the assembly is hearing a permit, it takes a supermajority of five votes to pass one of these things. So what he's arguing is that gives it a kind of backdoor where if people want the four-vote threshold instead of the more difficult five-vote threshold, they're incentivized to take the borough to court and sue, which he says is a bad thing. So he's putting forward this legislation that would make it so you need a supermajority as well to accept a settlement deal.
The borough asked its attorney to review the ordinance. What kind of feedback did the attorney provide?
The attorney, Max Holmquist, came out and said, I don't think you should pass this. The assembly tends to go with the attorney's advice, especially when it's kind of clear like that. What's interesting to me in this case is the attorney is usually saying whether something's legal or not. In this case, he said it is legal for the borough to pass Sargent's legislation and change these voting rules because the borough is a home rule borough. It has that power. But he raised this issue where he believes that it won't be a healthy procedure, I guess, for the assembly to blur the line between voting in quasi-judicial and voting in their normal legislative function. He says his primary concern is that it will make it harder for the borough to settle CUP litigation, which I think is Sargent's intent. So in a weird way, they kind of agree there, but Sargent says that's a good thing and the lawyer says that's a bad thing.
A proposed purchase of a fire truck took up a lot of the packet. Tell me about why the fire department would like a new truck.
We have a memo from the fire chief, Zach Overmeyer, and he says the current tanker is really old. It's from 1989. It was purchased in 2013, used, and it's just got a list of problems that he says. Rusting frame, leaks, can't put tire chains on. So, you know, whole range of issues that he says it's not that functional anymore.
And then something interesting is that the color of the truck seemed to be an issue. Can you explain that further?
It turns out from Overmeyer's memo that it's really expensive to buy the caliber of truck that they want. And so they have this range of options of used trucks. And their top choice is really great in every respect, except for the fact that it's not red, which is actually a huge discount. It's $50,000 cheaper specifically because it's this really bad, and sorry, that's editorializing, in my opinion, bad shade of kind of greenish yellow.
And the manager's report, there was an AP&T issue in there that I think warrants some attention. Can you go ahead and give us the rundown on that?
I wrote an article about this weekend, so check out the Chilkat Valley News website. But basically, the Upper Lynn Canal's energy utility, Alaska Power Company, which is a subsidiary of Alaska Power and Telephone, AP&T, has asked the government regulators that control its rates to approve a big rate increase. It was a pretty much 70% rate increase that was requested a year and a half ago. And recently, at the beginning of the summer, the government regulators said no. They said that AP&T, Alaska Power Company, was not justified in raising these rates because it stemmed from something that was their fault. The regulators basically said the company should have had adequate insurance on these underwater cables that failed, and because they didn't, this undue expense is getting passed along to the ratepayers. So that seemed like a big win for ratepayers in that it looked like their rates would not be taking this huge jump. But all of a sudden, Now, Alaska Power Company is warning that a separate part of that decision could increase rates by over 100%. They want the boroughs to set aside their differences with the utility on this rate case and lend their support, and all three parties petition the government regulators to put aside this requirement that would cause this huge rate increase. And the requirement itself is a fund that ratepayers would have to pay into over the next few decades to build a bank of money to be able to replace these cables when they fail because they're uninsured.